Welcome back to Cairo Nights on the line right now. Stacey Jill Rost, a.k.a. Neat. It's neat.
Can I explain that?
Yeah, you can explain that.
Very brief. It was just, I was stuck in traffic driving back. I'm covered in sweat.
Yeah.
That's no one asked. And I was driving down a residential street, and two cars in front of me got into a fender bender. And the person got out of his truck and he walked around, and I was like, oh no.
Oh.
And he like looks at the person in the car, and he's like, he waves, and then he points to the side of the road, and then the person's like, yeah. And it's like a very amicable kind of like, oh, I'm so sorry. And they pull over and they're like all friendly, and I drove by and I wanted to be like, good job, guys.
Neat.
Neat. Neat.
The way you say that is so funny, Stacey. I might ask Shane to grab that drop, and every time I say something
as a drop. Neat.
So, Stacey, this weekend I was horrifically depressed. And so the things that I like to do in order to practice self-care is I like to do things that I enjoy. And one of those is watching films that I find to be intellectually stimulating. And I rotate through, I want to say, about 100 of them. I've got about 100 movies offhand that I couldn't name them to you, but if I see them come up on HBO or Prime Video or Netflix or whatever it is, I will say to myself, I want to watch that. So Rear Window is a movie that popped up, and I thought to myself, I have not seen this in many, many years. Jimmy Stewart, Grace Kelly, I got to watch this again. I'm a big fan of it. So I'm watching it again, and in the first 15 minutes of it, something struck me. Now, Stacey, have you ever seen this film?
No.
Okay. The premise of the movie is that Jimmy Stewart has broken his leg and he can't leave his apartment. His girlfriend is Grace Kelly. Grace Kelly in the movie is this beautiful, she owns a boutique. She deals in high-level clothing. She's rich. Her name is Lisa Fremont. She's worth millions of dollars. In the language of the film, she's very wealthy. She's very well off. She is well-liked. She's very polite. She brings Jimmy Stewart on the first night that they're together. She brings him lobster tails and this high-priced, high-class dinner. And Jimmy Stewart in the movie is like, I don't want to marry her. I don't want anything to do with her. Yeah, you have to see this. It's crazy.
I was just thinking, who invented this character? Like, okay, so she's really, really beautiful and a millionaire and really giving and really funny and awesome. Also, she's like,
gorge.
Look into you. Yeah, she's gorgeous and she has eyes for you only, my friend.
And he's like, ew, get that away from me. If you watch
I'm over it.
If you watch the movie, he's like, ew, I don't want to get married to that creature. It's really, really funny. And so I was thinking about this and I was like, you know, I don't know if people realize that, because in the movie, the guy, the main character, watches everybody from his rear view mirror or his rear window with binoculars and with a seeing eye glass and a camera and all this stuff, high telephoto lens, and he's looking into other people's lives. We do the same thing now. But with social media, we can spy on each other in ways I never thought possible, Stacey Joe Rost. As an example, if I type in Stacey Joe Rost right now into Google, I can go to your LinkedIn. I can see exactly where you went to school, for what years, where you worked, who you work with now, what your degree is in. I can see pictures of you with celebrities.
You're saying this to someone who has stalked so many people on behalf of friends to find out more information and or if this person's a murderer. Like,
see. So now we all live in this rear window type thing. But in the movie, that's not, you're not sure for about the first hour and a half if Jimmy Stewart is going insane because he's locked up in this apartment, or if he's actually legitimately witnessed a murder. For you and I, it's basically the same thing. You and I can take a peek into somebody's life, and we can make a determination based on very loose evidence what kind of human being they are. And I think it's disturbing.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, I feel like that's how everything works nowadays. Like, look at dating apps. We've joked about it before, but it's like, decide whether you want to meet this person and potentially date them based on these three photos.
Yes.
And that's it. That's all you get. These three photos and a funny prompt about, like, tell me the last time you laughed so hard you cried. Yeah. And that's how you're supposed to decide whether, like, do I want to spend the rest of my life with this person? I don't know. I mean, they love Cheez-Its. I love Cheez-Its.
So Stacey, how is your dating exposition
going? I'm glad
going?
You asked. Yeah. it's going fine. No, I think that that's just kind of the age that we live in. There's so much... I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it's one of those things where it's like, you know how when there's so many choices, people can't choose between 28 things. They can choose between three things, but not a million things.
Yes.
There's part of our brain where it's like there's so much that you want to know about something and so many things you're taking in that you're like, I don't have time to learn more about this case. I'm going to go on the Reddit thread about it and look at three things real quick to tell myself I understand, because I also want to participate in this conversation about it. And it's like, we're so busy. We have so many things going on. But yeah, I mean, I think overall that ends up being a very clear problem in a way that isn't harmful when it comes to stuff like dating apps, which is just kind of like you're just missing out on meeting some cool people, probably. But on the other hand, it can become a little more, a little less benign when it is stuff like a story that becomes popular on social media or a person that's missing a lot of context.
Do you ever feel like maybe... Because think about it like this as well. Not only is there stuff that we put out on the internet, obviously, for the world to see, but also there's this stuff that people do not see that our internet service providers do see. So I know that Google has a profile around Jack Stein where they assume the kind of person that I am, and they are giving me advertising based on the things that they think that I want.
Recently, you know what I... Yeah, it is true. I think my problem with that, though, Jack, is that like they're doing it to me so effectively, and I am let down and disappointed in how easy I am to market to and how predictable I am to market to.
What
do you,
you
ever
getting?
Have that feeling?
What are you getting?
I shop online for clothes or shoes all the time, and they'll show me new shoes, and I'll be like, I'll click on that. I'll buy that. Sure. Like, everything is so predictable. Like, they can probably predict with 99% correct, like, rate.
Yeah.
Like, is she watching Outer Banks at home by herself right now? Let's go sell her some stuff from Amazon.
That's so sad. That's so sad, Stacey.
I'm sorry. I'm a capitalist dream, Jack.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, so I get advertising for things that I don't need. So, for example, I'm paying a gentleman right now in Tacoma to construct me a very expensive custom guitar. I'm happy to do it because the man is a master at what he does. Joe Riggio is an amazing guitar maker. You can find his stuff on the internet, and I'm paying him money to build me that guitar. I don't need an $800 guitar from Guitar Center.
Now you're getting those ads.
Exactly. I have all of the equipment that I need for my podcast and my live stream in my home right now. I'm getting ads for Canon cameras, screens. I've got an ad right now for Chromebook. Chromebook is garbage. What do? I look like some kind of a fraud? Do you think I use Chromebook? I use Mac only. What? That's garbage. Get that out of my face.
So, what do you think I do? Put a Mac sticker over the Google Chrome thing when I go to Starbucks? That's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah,
who does that?
Exactly. So the advertising that I get, because I constantly clear my history, is so site-specific that I know what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I shop at B&H for all my camera stuff, so I get B&H advertising. They're totally missing the mark. If they wanted to advertise stuff to me, it wouldn't be truthfully. It wouldn't be like natural organic teas and supplements. It would be like illegal testosterone from Afghanistan or something like that. If they really wanted to market stuff to me, it would be stuff that I can't normally buy.
Because
the stuff that I normally want to buy, I'll just go and buy it. I don't need this outside advertising, Stacey.
Now, my question for you, Jack, do you think there's anything inherently wrong with that? Because I think there are some people that would say, wow, this is part of the downfall of a healthy society. And there are other people that would say, well, there's nothing wrong inherently or at its core with like a very consumer focused type of thing. Because it's not necessarily like a rights or privacy violation.
Right.
Although you could certainly see it as such. But I mean, technically, when you're going to these sites, you're accepting cookies and
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like it's sometimes without people's better knowledge, they're consenting to it. But do you think there's something inherently wrong with it? Because I think there are some people that would say yes.
I do not, because okay. I think to myself, okay, so there is a, I have to be very careful about this because I don't want people to know where I live. There is a billboard near my home, within several miles of my home, that I see every so often. It hath been grandfathered in, because most places now don't actually, outside of like maybe LA or something like that, or maybe outside of some, maybe Portland, I don't know, Chicago, most places now don't want those huge billboards, like Vegas or something like that, those yeah. huge light up billboards that are like bing, bing, bing. This one in particular rotates. It's an LCD screen, and it rotates between car insurance and then also accident, like a lawyer who handles these kinds of cases, right?
Yeah.
When I see that,
like two for one.
Two for one. When I see it, it makes perfect sense to me that that's next to a highway. It makes perfect sense to me that it's next to a roadway. I think it's the same thing when we look at advertising that's directed to us on the internet. I'm on my computer, which is basically like being in my car. I can buy stuff from my computer. It's basically the same idea as driving down a road and seeing that sign and saying to yourself, hey, wait a minute. What happens if I get into a car accident?
Yeah. See, I think that's... I'm with you in that I'm like, I understand the downfall of where an extremely, like a capitalist, consumerist kind of focused can, like, I understand where the downfall starts. I also understand that I'm a part of it and don't know that I dislike that or that it bothers me all the time. Outside of obviously like the bigger issues, this is too much for what we're, the conversation we're having now, but the bigger issues when you talk about like, you know, I don't know, human rights violations with supply
exactly.
chain stuff. But like, that's, you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, that's where it starts to get into where I'm like, okay, that's where the flaw starts for me.
Yeah.
I'm not bothered that I go to Starbucks frequently, like every weekend. It doesn't make me feel like I'm a sellout. I like a skinny vanilla latte. What can I say? In fact, we're not calling it that anymore. But like, that's just what I like to have. I am who I am. I don't care what you think, teenager who thinks I'm a sellout. I think you're a sellout. It's fine.
So,
I didn't have this conversation earlier, but but there are other big issues when you talk about like fast fashion and the
yeah.
consequences of that.
So there is something, Stacey, that I think is right up your alley, and you and I didn't talk about it last week, but there's something new on the market that I think that you and I have to invest in. It's called the Freedom Phone. It's made by a Bitcoin millionaire from California.
Stop.
Swear to God.
I hate it already.
And it's going to prevent you from being tracked, and it's going to prevent the man, the
what
tech bros coming down. The tech bros from coming down on you and I, Stacey Joe Ross, and selling us stuff that we don't want. This is a real thing, Stacey. It's only $500. And we can buy two of them right now, and we can live in freedom. So,
that's a bargain.
This is a legitimate phone, and they're calling it a Freedom Phone, and it is a grift for all my right-wing friends out there. And basically the promise is, now we didn't talk about this 2 weeks ago, Stacey Joe Ross, but I feel like it's important to talk about it now. This phone is basically a $120 Android phone.
Now, can you call the actual founding fathers with it and ask them just kind of their general ideas about things?
It is boasting. Basically, the sales pitch is this, is that it's a high security phone that will prevent you from being tracked. It will prevent you from you'll be able to access the App Store, which will have all apps on it. The tech bros won't be able to ruin this for you in any way, shape or form. But if you look at the fine print, this $500 phone is just a $120 Android that is basically repackaged, reskinned with an American flag on it.
Also, that someone won't find out, God forbid, that you're going to Orange Julius. Like, where are you trying to hide that you're going? I don't understand.
But here's the thing. If you use Facebook on this phone, they're going to track you because you click on the cookies thing. If you use Google on this phone, they're going to track you because you use you click on the accept the terms of service. If you use YouTube, if you use Instagram. So basically what this is they're giving you a $500 burner phone that if you put anything on it will instantly start tracking you based on your profile information.
It will blow your guys' mind when I tell you about 7-Eleven and that there's a much cheaper version of this
that you can buy. And this is what this reviewer says. You can literally go to Walmart and you can buy their $80 Android phone at
yes.
Walmart. The Walmart branded $80 Android phone. And it has exactly the same specs. Exactly the same specs. The only difference is that this guy bought, at least they're assuming that he bought between 10 and 20,000 of these phones on Alibaba.com and then repackaged the operating system to say Freedom Phone and all this other stuff. And he's going around and saying that no one will be able to track you on this phone when, in fact, the second that you put Facebook on it, the second that you put Twitter on it, you're going to be doing exactly that, Stacey. And yet, people are all for it.
I understand there's two things about this. I understand the principles of why you would want your privacy and why any kind of surveillance is wrong. I completely understand it. I also think to myself, like, you and I are not doing things that, like, the government cares to track. I think, you know what I mean? Like, it's what is the government like watching me for to see if I'm like going to, I don't know. I just, it's like when I was hearing about, yeah, I guess I just, I think I do understand the principle. I do. I don't do anything interesting or exciting enough with my life, I guess. Maybe I need to. Maybe this is when I realized in this moment that I need to get a Freedom Phone and do more exciting things with my life. I lead an incredibly boring life.
Dark web. I can't
relate to people who would feel, yeah, I feel like anyone surveilling me would be like, God, this girl is so pathetic. But another thing is we should, for a separate interview, a separate conversation we're having, there's something that's always been really upsetting and disappointing to me about this commodification, not just that, but like the warping of the idea of freedom and patriotism in
yes.
a way that becomes incredibly bigoted and exclusionary.
We could talk about that tomorrow, Stacey. We're almost out of time. And what I'll do, Stacey, is I'll make a mental note and I'll grab that story about how the U.S. soccer team, it just got eliminated by Canada. And how people over at the Daily Wire, Benny Pepino's organization, are just digging in the knife as far as they possibly can.
It baffles me.
Yeah.
The U.S. women's national team.
Not good enough, Stacey.
Yeah.
Because
right.
We're in America. And in America, one of the things that we want from all of our athletes is for them to stand for the national anthem, Stacey Joe Ross, because this is America. And have you not been listening to the show, by the way, Stacey? Because I use that like every segment and it never gets not funny. I use that all the time. I use it probably more than I should at this point in time, but anytime I want to say something serious, I just pump it up.
I also like the notebooky music. That one makes me laugh every time.
Oh, you mean the Stacey,
yeah.
We're all out of time, but we appreciate you driving through traffic and getting all sweaty and
thank you
for the show. We really appreciate it. We have to take a really quick break. When we get back, we're going to be doing Ask Me Anything, Ask Myself, Lisa Brooks, Shane Peterson, Anything That's On Your Mind. Very popular new segment, Stacey. 98973 State Roofing text line 98973. We'll be right back after this. Us anything. It's the name of the segment. 98973 State Roofing text line. You can ask us literally any question. Lisa Brooks is here. Shane Peterson, Sugar Shane Peterson, is here. Lisa, we need a nickname for you, but it has to come organically. We have to get a really pleasant nickname for you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll wait and see what happens.
Okay, I got to figure out a really good one. So we have a bunch of questions that people sent in. One of them isn't really a question. This is from 908. It says, Jack, you're so much less conservative than I'd hoped you'd be when I started listening to your show, but I guess you get what you get. This is something that I often hear from people, and I don't get it. I don't understand why. Maybe it's because I avoid being, maybe it's because I avoid saying Democrat bad every single segment for every single show, but I've not changed any of my conservative bona fides. It's kind of a weird position that people put me in. They say, well, you're so much less conservative than I'd hoped you'd be. Shane, have I done a single segment where I'm like, hey, you know what? I thought about abortion, and actually I think that's totally cool now. And as a matter of fact, I think the Democrats really aren't that bad. And, you know, gee golly willikers, when I think about unions, I just think that those are great too. And you know what? Maybe we need to start supporting our teachers more, and we need to obviously be, you know, looking out for the teachers even when they strike on the taxpayers' dollar. I think that that's important to do. Have I done that one time, Shane?
No, I can't say that you really have. Definitely the exact opposite of all those statements.
Have I been like, gee golly willikers, Shane, you know, I've been thinking about needle exchange programs. I just think they're the bee's knees. And as a matter of fact, I think that safe injection sites, yeah, those are pretty cool too. And, you know, when you think about Joe Biden, I just think that maybe everybody's just giving him a hard time for no reason. You know, Kamala Harris is actually, like, really good at her job and stuff like that. And, you know, the other thing about immigration is I just think we need to open that border up. You know, you just open that baby wide open. You let everybody come on in, because it's like, this is America. And as a matter of fact, while we're at it, Shane, now that we're on Cairo Nights, I actually think, you know, universal health care is really the only option going forward. I mean, if you talk about single-payer system, I mean, let's just forget about that for a second. We just need, honestly, universal health care. I mean, I don't get it when people say that to me, Shane. It really blows my mind.
I think that people are just shocked that you actually, like, you'll stand up and talk about issues about, like, trans kids and things that are kind of hot-button issues that they're like, oh, wow, you're not following the good old, you know, the good old-fashioned way. So I think that might be some of it, but but you're still a right-wing hack in all of our eyes, Jack.
I know, and I'm like, hey, you know what? I like gay people and I like trans people. And everyone's like, you're not, hey, wait a minute, Jack Stein, you're not conservative enough. And I'm like, okay, well, if that's the thing that's making me not conservative enough, I guess that's going to be the thing that sinks my boat. If you're, Lisa, this is probably a good one for you with your many wisdoms. It says, what if your wife or husband does not want to get the vaccine shot? You got it already, but your partner does not want to. That's from 253.
Wow. Well, I think that's obviously a conversation that you have to have with them and figure out what room they're going to sleep in. Because it ain't going to be with you.
Yeah, that's basically the conversation that my missus had with me. She was like, listen, I want to have my friends over. My best friend in the entire world lives with her grandmother. I cannot have her over if you are not vaccinated, because that's dangerous for her grandmother. And because I care about Sarah's BFF, I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to go get it, because it would be very inconsiderate of me, knowing that Sarah's basically her sister, her grandmother is at high risk. And it's just that kind of thing. So I think if you frame it like that, that is probably the best way to go about it when you're saying, hey, listen, it's a personal choice for you, but just know as partners, it affects my life as well. That's the point of the that kind of thing. Sugar Shane Peterson, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a conversation that you need to have. It's going to be probably an uncomfortable conversation for both people. But I mean, kind of at this point, I mean, if you haven't considered it, or if you haven't been talks with people, or people haven't tried to convince you about getting the vaccine, then you're probably living in a hole or something. So, I mean, we really should just, people need to just get out, have these conversations and get on with their lives, whether they want to get it or not.
Yeah. 360 says, missing me some human genius. Any updates? I literally just spent my weekend 360 setting up all the new equipment, literally the camera and the new Mac and the new everything for the YouTube channel. So that's going to be really, really, really soon. So yeah, thank you to you 360 for being a super fan. I appreciate that. Jack Stein, I'd like to know more about how you stopped smoking using nicotine mints, hashtag inspired. Well, I really wanted to quit smoking cigarettes, and I also wanted to hide the fact that I had started smoking cigarettes again around my mom. So I started using the nicotine lozenges, these little 2 milligram nicotine lozenges, around my mom. And then after a while, I realized that I smelled so much better, and I felt so much better and I was not, I wasn't like throwing up all the time. I didn't feel sick all the time. And when I was smoking cigarettes, I just felt ill all the time.
Really?
So it was kind of a gradual process.
Wow.
To getting off the nicotine and onto the nicotine mints. But also keep in mind, I was quitting everything at that point in time in my life, so cigarettes were kind of at the bottom of the list compared to, you know, heroin and cocaine and all that other kind of stuff. So it was kind of an easy switch for me over time. 253 says, do you or Shane or Lisa read books? And if yes, what type? Lisa Brooks, what about you? What kind of books are you reading?
Oh, gosh. You know, I kind of switched to podcasts. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. But I got a book based on a podcast, which is John Green's The Anthropocene Reviewed. It's a series of essays that he came up with during the time of COVID that are somewhat hopeful. And I recommend it. It's a very good book and also a very good podcast.
Hmm. Interesting.
Shane, what about you? Are you you reading, anything?
As you know, my readers don't do too well. My readers really aren't, you know, up to date with everybody else. So I don't really read an awful lot, but I will say there is one book that I've been reading for probably like the past year or two. Every time I go on a trip, I'll bring it with me just to try to pass time. But I've been reading a book called Get in the Van by Henry Rollins,
yes,
which is a book about all of Henry Rollins' time in the infamous punk band Black Flag. Cool. During their rise and fall in about 4 years. So that's what I usually read.
You have to listen to the audiobook version of it because Henry Rollins reads it like he's mad the entire time.
Well, he's mad all the time anyways.
That's very true. Who is it? 908 says, you very often say all my conservative colleagues are saying XXX, but I completely disagree. I just see that contradiction a lot, but I really appreciate the thoughtful debate and nuanced thinking. Oh, you're very welcome. So the reason I say that is because all too often my conservative colleagues have bad takes, really, really, really bad takes on stuff. And rather than acknowledge those bad takes when new data comes in, they just put their foot down and they say, well, I guess this is the way that a right winger is supposed to feel about this issue, or I guess this is how a conservative is supposed to feel about this issue, without expanding their horizons and thinking to themselves, hey, wait a minute, what if I was an advocate for small government and personal responsibility, while also understanding that sometimes culture shifts and it changes and there's nuance there. Lisa Smooth, I think that would be a great nickname. Smooth Lisa Brooks?
Smooth.
That might... smooth Lisa Brooks.
Smooth move, Lisa. I don't know. It sort of sounds like an insult.
253 wants to know how you got hooked into Cairo Nights.
Well, you know, it was a cool opportunity. So
yeah,
I
cool
said,
Lisa Brooks.
I said yes.
The best answer. That's basically, they said, Jack Stein, do you want the job? And I said, no. And they said, we need to have you. Will you please take over? Will you please take this job? And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then finally Brian called me, tears in his eyes, says, Jack Stein, you're the greatest broadcaster of all time. I need you to come on and do Cairo Nights. The station can't exist without you. Thousands of jobs depend on you. And I said, okay, Brian, I'll do it for you. So that's how I got this job. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, we'll wrap all this up with Lisa Brooks and Sugar Shane Peterson right after this. I'm kind of juggling between lucky Lisa Brooks, but also lovely Lisa Brooks.
Aww.
But the problem is that if I say lovely Lisa Brooks, I might get an email from HR tomorrow.
I used to call myself the information goddess. So,
yes, yeah. Someone actually pointed that out in the text line. Someone else said that we should call you lifer, but
lifer?
That seems kind of like dark.
It's kind of like true, though. I've been doing this for a really long time. So that's possible. 40 years in the news biz. So
yeah,
that could be a lifer.
Yeah. I don't think we had a nickname for Frank. Oh, no, it was Dancing Frank Shire.
Oh,
yep, Dancing Frank.
I love it.
Yeah.
How'd he get that?
Man. Oh, just that bonus chain.
Okay. Yeah,
I used to tell everybody that Frank had a 4-foot afro and that I met him in Austin, Texas in 1975 in a roller rink. And that he was doing backflips.
I love it.
And then I said, who's that? And then my friend said, well, that's Dancing Frank Shires. And Frank hated it so much.
That's great.
It was so awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So what's on everybody's mind? What's on my mind is Shane Peterson. I want to know what's on your mind before I say what's on my mind.
I mean, there's not a whole awful lot on my mind. Today was I was in kind of a bummer of a mood today.
Yeah.
And then as the nights progressed on, it's definitely gotten a lot better. Definitely everybody in the text line for, you know, saying, you know, hey, hope you're feeling better. It's been all very nice. But there is one thing that's been stuck on my mind today. As you know, I got a job during the day. You know, I'm that pool boy. I'm that Cabana Casanova. I'm that water pump playboy. So I'm out there fixing pools and doing the stuff. And today I got to work a lot with some chemicals. And I almost had an incident today where I almost made mustard gas on accident.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I've been learning a lot about different chemicals and a bunch of different acids and stuff, you know, that all goes into your swimming pool. And as I was pouring one into one of the big containers in one of those new spaces that we're putting in a bunch of new equipment, it started smoking a lot. And it was all the vapor from the acid that was coming out of it. And I didn't realize what was going on. So I almost had a full panic attack at my work today because all these chemical fumes started coming up. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. But luckily I was putting everything in the right place and it's supposed to do that. So that was a little bit of a scary thing for me. And 425 asking me if I got my snowboard. Yes, I got it.
Nice.
Yes, it is safe and secure, and I got to cuddle with it as soon as it got to the door. So, yeah, that's all that's on my mind.
That, I had a thought, and then it was completely derailed by the fact that you got your snowboard. I was thinking to myself about all the jobs that I used to have and everything that I used to do. And, yeah, doing the two jobs in a radio gig is pretty tough. But we appreciate you very much, Shane, and we appreciate everything that you, especially on the technical side. Most people will never know what Shane does to get the show a moving in between when Jack is talking. Like when there's a commercial break, Shane is doing stuff that I could not possibly fathom. So, Lisa Brooks, what's on your mind?
I had a religious experience with a tomato today.
Ooh, excellent.
Did you see Jesus? Did you see our Lord and Savior
about,
Jesus Christ?
Just about. Man, it was pretty amazing. No, I had friends visit me from Maryland. I haven't seen them in a long time. And there's nothing like an East Coast homegrown tomato. And they flew across the country with this perfect tomato from the East Coast, perfectly ripe, and just a little oil, a little salt. And it was like tomato nirvana. Nothing like it.
I like it. I love tomatoes. Some people really hate on the tomatoes. I don't understand why people don't like them.
It's very difficult to get really good tomatoes here in the Northwest. People work at it. Cherry tomatoes, almost no problem. But regular beefsteak tomato, you have no idea how amazing those are.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate to talk about my grandmother again, but she ruined food for me. She absolutely decimated food, including tomatoes. So it wasn't until I met the missus that she reintroduced me into the world of vegetables because my grandmother just ruined it for me. She would boil everything.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah.
Everything. So then when I met Sarah, she was putting broccoli into the oven. I said, what are you doing putting broccoli in the oven? She said, you bake greens. I said, you bake greens? What are you talking about? And I eat them now religiously. I have Brussels sprouts and broccoli and asparagus now. All baked, but when I was a young boy, everything, tomatoes, broccoli, everything that you could possibly ingest that came off of a tree or a vine or from the ground, she would just boil it, and it ruined food for me. And now I feel much better that I've lived through all that stuff. So what we like to do now is we like to do a little bit of a rotation. Shane, did you grab that drop, by the way?
I have it pulled up. I haven't finished editing it yet. You'll get it before the end of the night.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, for Lisa Brooks and for Sugar Shane Peterson and for myself, I wish everybody a very good night. We will be back tomorrow, and we will see you then. Goodbye.
I'll be there.